You are listening to the audio from Grace Bible Church. This audio message is a recording from our Sunday morning worship service. We hope you enjoy.
Well, church, if you have a copy of God's Word, and I hope you do, please turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to be in verses 19 through 22 here this morning. If you don't have a Bible with you, we'd invite you even to grab that black pew Bible there right in front of you. You can turn it to page 988 and just be able to follow along as we walk through kind of a short portion of scripture here this morning, but has so much, I feel like, meaning and application to our lives today. So I want to begin this morning by asking a question. So when was the last time you knew God was speaking to you? When was the last time you knew that God was speaking to you directly? Maybe it was a verse that jumped off the page during your Bible reading. Maybe it was a sermon that spoke directly to the situation that you were in. Or maybe it was a conversation with a friend where God provided exactly what you needed to hear at that moment. But whatever it was, you walked away knowing that you heard the voice of God. I'll never forget a moment when I clearly heard God's voice. Not audibly, I'm not crazy, but there's a prompting in my heart. It was a Wednesday night in 2021. I was preaching at a summer camp. And so the way that they work, they have chapel in the morning, chapel in the evening. So I was getting ready for evening chapel. They were finishing up their worship sets. I was getting ready to speak, and right before I got up to speak, I felt this crazy, just unmistakable prompting from the Lord that simply said, "Preach the gospel." And I wrestled. I was like, "No, God, I ain't doing that. I already have a sermon. I already have an outline. I got a PowerPoint made. I have the text I'm going to use." But I couldn't shake it. They kept on repeating, "Just preach the gospel." So I set aside my sermon, set aside my notes, set aside my PowerPoints, and simply walked up there and walked through the gospel with those campers. And that evening, several campers trusted Christ as their Savior. So the crazy thing is that the next day, the camp had to send many of those campers home due to a COVID-19 outbreak. So for some, that was their only chapel service. And if I hadn't listened to God's prompting, they would have never gone home hearing the gospel. And listen, I share that not because every fleeting thought is God's voice. That's actually far from the truth. But I share that to remind us of this very important truth that God still speaks to his people today. God still speaks to his people today. See, listen, Scripture teaches us that God speaks through his word. Yes. Scripture teaches that God speaks through prayer. Yes. Scripture teaches that God speaks to us through the Spirit's prompting in our lives. Yes. But in our portion today, in 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 through 22, Paul highlights another way we can hear God's voice. And that's through God's people. Look at the text with me. Let's read 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 through 22. It says this. Paul writes to these believers and says, "Do not quench the spirits. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good and abstain from every form of evil." Now listen, these verses can be controversial. And I was like, "Man, Mike, you're making me preach on this on my birthday? Like, I got to talk about prophecy on my 40th birthday, for real?" But this is what God has for us today, and I'm excited to do it. But listen, I understand that these verses can be uncomfortable for people for different reasons. For some of us who grew up in a more conservative background, anytime you hear the word prophecy, your antennas automatically go up. Because just the fact of there's been so much maybe abuse and misuse of prophecy that we've shut it all down. I get that. And I grew up in that camp. I understand what that those feelings. But there's also probably other of you here this morning that maybe come from a more charismatic background where prophecy was just part of your everyday part of worship. Every Sunday, every time you came, there would be people that would give a word of prophecy saying, "This is what God has for us today." And I'm not here to prove any of you wrong or right, but today what I want to do, I want to just present a middle ground for us today. I want to present a middle ground where we can have ears to hear that are open to the Spirit of God, but yet we are discerning about what we receive as from the Lord. So this morning, we're going to learn two lessons about hearing God's voice, and here they are. First, don't be cynical. Don't dismiss the fact that God can use others to speak into our lives. But on the other hand, it's don't be gullible. Don't believe everything that you hear is from God. So before we start, let's pause and pray, asking for God's wisdom and guidance as we spend time in these verses today. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for your word. And God, I believe that you sovereignly chose this passage for today. And God, I believe that you chose this because there's something that you want us to learn, something that you want us to hear, something that you want us to apply to our lives. And God, that may be different for different people here this morning, but I pray, Lord, that you would give us wisdom as we walk through this passage today. That we would hear your voice, that we would be led by your spirits. And God, that you would help me as I communicate, Lord, help me to communicate, God, with clarity and with courage today. So God, we just ask your blessing upon the time as we dig into your Holy Scripture today. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, before we get into the main text, I think it would be helpful just to define what prophecy is. We often think of prophecy as what? As predicting future events. And yes, that is part of it. But I think, generally speaking, prophecy just simply means speaking God's word into a specific situation. I kind of wrote up this definition. It says, prophecy is a spirit-led word from the Lord, rooted in truth, given to encourage, strengthen, and edify the church, always tested by Scripture. I know that's a long definition, but there's some very clear guardrails that I wanted to be able to define as we think about the idea of prophecy. So first, prophecy is a spirit-led word from the Lord. Romans chapter 12 and verse 6 lists prophecy as a gift of the spirits, where people speak as the Holy Spirit prompts them. And so it's not their own volition, it's not their own will, but true prophecy is something that God uses to speak truth for his own people. But secondly, prophecy is rooted in truth. Friends, prophecy is never a new revelation that supersedes Scripture. Prophecy isn't something that someone can say, hey, I've got a word from the Lord, and instead of doing this, instead of following this book, we're going to do this now instead. Prophecy never supersedes Scripture. We don't interpret Scripture through prophecy. We interpret prophecy through Scripture. It is rooted in the truth of who God is. It's rooted in his will and his ways. So it is rooted in Scripture truth. Thirdly, it's given to encourage, strengthen, and edify the church. 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 states that any gift of the Spirit, including prophecy, is meant to actually build up and encourage the body of believers. It's not there for you to get rich. It's not there for you to gain a platform or a following. Prophecy is always meant to build up the church. And lastly, something most important, is always should be tested by Scripture. Friends, every time someone says, God told me to tell you something, doesn't always mean that it's right, or doesn't always mean that it's true. So every time someone says, I have a word from the Lord, we should never accept it before checking with this book and see what Scripture actually says. We are to take the fallible and imperfect words of men and compare it to the infallible and perfect word of God. So when I say prophecy, and when we think about prophecy today, that's what I'm talking about. Spirit-led word from the Lord, rooted in truth, given to encourage, strengthen, and edify the church, always tested by Scripture. Now that we have a working understanding of what prophecy is, let's look at what Paul says in verses 19 through 20. Paul begins by these two negative commands. He said, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. So right there at the very beginning, Paul is saying, listen, the Spirit can be doing something. Don't quench the Spirit's work. And do not despise, stiff arm, reject, or look down upon prophecy. I believe I grew up in an environment where we probably did those things. And Paul addresses that here. In context, the word quench means to extinguish like a fire, to stomp something out. If you have something on fire, you're probably going to do one of two things. One, if it's like a campfire, you might hit it with a fire extinguisher with some water, or stamp out those ashes to make sure that fire goes down. And that's exactly what the Thessalonians were doing to the Spirit's work. And you can kind of understand why. Because see, false teachers had actually infiltrated the church and had spread confusion and lies, claiming that Jesus had already returned, that the rapture had already happened, and that they were living in the day of the Lord, a day of judgment. And quite frankly, it's something that I would be terrified to live in and be afraid of. And some believers were shaken to their core, and others grew skeptical, and soon they dismissed any word that claimed to be from God. And I get it. If false teachers come in and they're spreading lies or they're saying things that are untrue, over time, just be like, I'm just not going to believe anything. We've seen that over and over and over again, haven't we? So many people within our country have a distrust for government or whatever it may be because of the lies that they believe are being spread. That's what these Christians were going through. But Paul warns them, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't reject every prophecy. The first lesson that Paul teaches us is this: simply don't be cynical. About a month ago, our upstairs sink in our bathroom was dripping. And I tried a couple different quick fixes. I tried all those different things, but nothing worked. So I just shut off the cold water. Problem solved. We're good. I mean, I didn't mind shaving with hot water. That's fine. But my kids, when they try to get a drink before bedtime, they go in there and get a nice refreshing blast of hot water. They didn't enjoy it as much. But friends, oftentimes what happens when we despise prophecy, when what we're doing, we are quenching the Holy Spirit's work within our midst. One of the ways that the Spirit works to bring refreshment, to bring help into our congregations is through the speaking of truth through other people into our lives. And when it comes to hearing God's voice through others, cynicism often shows up in one of two places. And I'm not going to, there's obviously other ones, but I'm going to just highlight two today. The first, cynicism often shows up when we listen to preaching or when we sit under preaching. Listen, we live in a culture that trains us to be critics. We rate movies. We review restaurants. We scroll past anything that doesn't capture our attention within 3 seconds. We have, you know, you can be like a Google whatever, where you just review everything that you do, and other people can look and see what you thought about whatever that place is or whatever happened. But if we're not careful, we can bring that same kind of attitude into church and into our worship services as well. And instead of coming hungry for God's word, we spend our time judging every aspect of the service. And listen, I know this happens. I get it because I do it too. It is, as a preacher, as a communicator of God's word, I have to work really hard. Not to, if I'm sitting under someone else, not to judge or evaluate everything that they do. And maybe I'm not alone here. Maybe you feel the same way. Maybe these thoughts have gone through your head. Maybe you said, that wasn't a strong introduction. Or man, that joke did not hit at all. Probably mine. Or you could think, man, that point could have been shortened up by 5 minutes. Or man, I just feel like you're saying the same thing over and over and over again. All of us have been there. All of us have done that. But I think when we come with that attitude into the worship service, when we sit under God's word, we may be shutting off what God wants to use in our lives to speak truth into our hearts. See, friends, every sermon is an opportunity to hear from God, no matter who's up here. Every time we open up God's word, it's an opportunity to hear God's voice into our lives. And when we dismiss it with a cynical spirit, we risk closing our ears to God himself. Something that I love just about the makeup of our church is that it's not just one guy always up here preaching. That we have multiple pastors, that our elders will speak and teach as well. And I've been able to learn and be blessed by each and every one of our guys. Dan, Brian, Mike, the elders that have taught as well. So friends, no matter who's up here, and we all have different styles, we all have different formats, we're all gifted in different ways, and I get that, and I praise God for that, but every single time, the Word of God is opened. And we sit under biblical preaching that takes this book and communicates what God has for us. And the truths of God's word every single time is an opportunity to hear from the voice of God. So I just want to ask you a question. What would it look like to come next Sunday ready to hear God's voice? Instead of coming in, just, I'm here to evaluate, I'm here to do whatever, this better be short, I need to get out of here. What would it look like for you and for us as a body to come next Sunday to ready to hear God's voice? What would need to be different? And I would think you need to be prayed up. You need to ask God, what would you have for me today? We need to become expectant and ready for God to hear. You need to walk through those doors. And I get it, Sunday mornings are tough. And like I feel like everything that could go wrong does go wrong to get our hearts in a bad place where we're not receptive to the voice of God. Man, when we're prayed up and say, God, would you show me something from your word today? When we're ready to receive it. When our sins have been confessed, maybe when we've already spent some time in the Word already that morning, but we come ready to hear God's Word. I love how the late Tim Keller would often he'd say this one simple phrase after he'd read the passage for that morning sermon. He'd read whatever it was, and he would say, "This is the Word of God for us today." We come in. Knowing that, God, this is the passage that you need me to hear, that you want me to hear. And then we listen with open ears and we receive the blessing and hear God's voice as he speaks to us through his word. So not only does it come through preaching, but cynicism can also come through personal conversations as well. So I believe that God speaks through the preaching of his word, of course he does, but I also believe that God also speaks to us through the personal conversations that we have. Think about it. God often speaks through conversations with other believers, whether it's a verse that he prompts them to share, whether you're talking with them and they just feel, hey, I just feel like God wants me to share this verse with you right now. That's a form of prophecy. Or whether you're going through something and they just say, hey, I feel like God just wants me to tell you this right now. Whether it's, hey, I woke up in the middle of the night and God urged me to pray for you. And God wants me to address whatever this issue of sin in your life may be. All of those are examples of God's Spirit prompting, moving in the lives of other people to speak truth into your life. But oftentimes when that happens, and I've done it, we dismiss that. We dismiss the words of others, don't we? We say, listen, that's just their opinion. So I'm going to dismiss it. They don't really understand my situation, so I'm going to dismiss it. What right or what authority do they have to speak into my life? So I'm going to dismiss it. But the truth is, the Spirit often works through the very people sitting next to you at church. Through the friend that texts you midweek, or through that mentor who opens up God's word with you over coffee each week. Whatever that may be, God can use those people to speak truth into our lives. And if we ignore their counsel, we might be dismissing prophecy without ever even realizing it. An example of this, kind of bigger example in the life of our church. Pastor Micah has shared this. I just want to share it again. So this is probably 4 or 5 years ago. We were praying through what God would have us do in the summertime as a church. Some kind of outreach event, something that we could reach out into our community. So we were already praying for that and asking God to move and asking God to show us what we were to do. There's this guy who every so often will drop off material at our church. His name is Dale. Dale, if you're here, cool. If not, that's fine too. We'd already been praying. Dale dropped off this magazine to our back door. And on the back, it literally just said, "Open air tent meeting, ? And then he wrote the word yes, ! And at first, I'm not sure who got it first, or everybody like, this is weird. And like, how dare you tell us what to do with our church and everything like that. But the more that we started thinking about it, like, no, we've actually been praying for God. What would you have us do as a church? And what did God do? He prompted someone else with a weird way of doing it, but he did it nonetheless. To share, this is what you should do as a church. And we didn't say yes right away. We prayed about it some more. But that's how Grace Night Out was birthed. Was from the back of a magazine, 5 words, whatever it may be, open air tent meeting, ? Yes. And I believe that God used that man and the courage to write those words to see people come to faith in Jesus and to birth out of really great events that we've done as a church over the years. So God can still speak through other people into our lives. But so the question I want you to ask simply is this: who in your life might God be using to speak truth to you today? It might be that person sitting next to you in the pew right now. It might be, man, I don't want to, like, and you may feel, they're just nagging me all the time. They just want me to do certain things. No, maybe God is using that person, that family member, that friend to move you in a certain direction. And instead of dismissing it, what would happen if you started considering, is this what God really wants for my life? Or maybe it's that mentor that you meet with. Maybe it's a sibling, a brother or a sister. Maybe it's a life group member, whatever it may be. But God uses people to speak truth into our lives. And so you just ask the question, Lord, who are those people and what are they already what are they already telling me to do? And just consider that may be from the Lord. And accept it as that. So listen, Paul's warning hits home. Don't quench the spirits. Don't despise prophecies. Stay open to how God may speak through preaching or through other people. But now, if Paul's first warning is not to be cynical, the second warning balances that. And he gives it to us. He says, don't be gullible. Don't be gullible. How many of you guys have people in your lives that just seem to be the victim of every single scam that's out there? Yeah, we all know them. I was one of those people for a long time. I'll quickly mention, this is probably 10, 15 years ago, someone called me and said, Dave, there's a virus on your computer, and we need access to it right now. And I said, oh, thank you so much for calling me. Like, that's incredible. Thank you so. Oh, you need me to log on to my computer and we're going to share a screen for a while? Perfect. No problem. Oh, you need a credit card to fix this? I can have this virus fixed for $250? Wonderful. That's so cheap. And like, as I'm giving them my credit card number, it's like, wait, this ain't right. What's up? And like, and so he didn't. No, I think he did get me. I think I had to shut everything down and change everything just to be safe. But yeah, we all have those people who will believe everything. Paul is saying, don't be gullible. Don't be like those people. Be open to God's voice. But that doesn't mean that we believe everything that we hear. Verse 21 and 22 says this. It says, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Notice what Paul says here. He doesn't say reject everything. He doesn't say believe everything. He says test everything. Examine everything. This is exactly what we see in 1 John 4:1. The Apostle John says the very same thing. He says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone into the world. Guys, one of the most dangerous phrases within Christendom is this: God told me so. Right? God told me so. I saw a video recently of a man during a church service, and he got a mic. I'm not sure how, but he did. And he literally said, the Lord has told me I'm going to meet my wife today. So if you're in the audience, why don't you just come on down right now? And like, I don't know how long that lasted, but like, that could be super awkward. What if more than one lady came down? Like, there's so many variables that could have happened there. But no, God, did God tell you that? I don't think so, man. Like, I think you're lonely, and I think you're just giving it a shot. Good old college try, but God probably didn't tell you that. It's weird. And while that may be funny, there are also a lot of other tragic events that come from God told me so. God told me to stop taking medication. God told me to leave my spouse because I'm unhappy. People use that phrase, God told me so, for so many unbiblical things. And so Paul says, listen, you need to be careful. You need to have some discernment. And that's not the Spirit talking many times. That's personal deception. I do want to just nail that down. Listen, you don't believe everything that you hear. But we're called to test the spirits. Let me just kind of walk you through a test on how we examine prophecy. There's three questions that we can ask. First is, does it contradict God's word? Does it contradict God's word? 1 Timothy 6, verses 3 through 4, Paul talks about that, where he says, listen, you test every prophecy against God's word and against the doctrine that has already been taught. If someone says something that goes against what this book says, then it's false. I don't care how much authority they say it in with. I don't care how much of a following that they have. If this goes against what this word already says, it is wrong. And you reject that as false prophecy. Someone says, God told me to leave my spouse because I'm unhappy. That goes against Scripture's teaching on marriage and covenants. Matthew chapter 19, verse 6 says that marriage is between one man and one woman for one lifetime. That's God's design. And so if they're saying, I'm just unhappy, we can't work things out, I'm just leaving, and God told me to do so, you can say, God didn't tell you that. You told yourself that. Or maybe some other people that think that that's okay told you that, but that didn't come from the Lord. So anything that contradicts God's word is false, and that is not something that you should run to, but you should run away from. Secondly, does it dishonor Christ? Does it dishonor Christ? 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3 talk about the idea that John says, anyone that says that Jesus Christ didn't come in the flesh and isn't the Savior of the world is a false prophet. So people out there who say, especially in our culture today, that Jesus, yes, while Jesus is a good teacher, he's not the only way to heaven, you run away from them because that is a false prophet. Anyone who says, yeah, Jesus may be a way to heaven, but he's not the only way, no. That did not come from God. And lastly, one that I think is super important but may take some time to develop and examine, this last question, well, what's the fruit? Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about this in verses 15 through 20, where he says, "You will know false prophets by their fruits." I know so many times people will say, oh, that portion is talking about believers, and you know if they're a true believer by their fruits. In context, he's talking about false prophets. And you will know them by the fruit of their teaching. You will know them whether their teaching is from God or not based upon the fruit that is developed in the lives of their followers. And so sometimes we sit back and wait and see what is happening in these followers' lives. What is going on here? Because true prophecy produces holiness, produces love, produces unity. False prophecy produces pride, confusion, and sin. I remember when Harold Camping began making his last kind of rounds of predictions about Jesus coming back. I remember being in South Jersey, and there was a kind of a large group of people that followed him. These people were selling everything, living out of campers, giving so much money to this ministry and everything else, and then it didn't happen. And then he made another prediction, and it didn't happen, and these people went broke, and they were miserable, and there was so much chaos and disunity, and you think, that didn't come from the Lord. And not only did the scriptures say, we don't know when Jesus is coming back, but the fruit in the lives of their followers did not produce what God would want to produce in their lives as well. So you simply just ask the question, what would this message produce if I believed and followed it? What would this message, if I followed this person, I followed their message, what would it produce in my life? And again, sometimes it may take some time, and that's okay. Nowhere in Scripture does it say you need to make a decision on a prophecy day one. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it takes us prayerfully asking the Lord for wisdom and everything else. And so let me just, as we close, let me just give you a few ways, a few practices that you can actively engage in as we discern prophecy. The first is this, that we study or know God's word. When you hear something that someone claims to be from God, whether it's a pastor, we're not infallible. We will make mistakes. So whether it's a pastor, whether it's a friend, maybe it's an author, or whoever else you take in content, search the scriptures to see if they line up. If you're taking notes, a verse that I want you to write down is Acts chapter 17, verses 10 and 11. When the apostle Paul went to Berea and was proclaiming the gospel and sharing truth with them, it said that every single night they went back and searched the scripture for themselves to see if it was so. That's what we need to be like. That's the practice that we need to engage in. Know God's word. Study God's word. The more that we know this book, the more that we know the real truth from God, the better capable we are to be able to detect counterfeit gospels and counterfeit prophecies as well, counterfeit messages. So we know God's word. But discernment and testing should never be done alone. See, the second thing we should do is that we should seek godly counsel. Proverbs 11:4 talks about the idea that there is safety in a multitude of counselors. And so if someone says something to you and says, I believe God wants you to do this, and you search God's word, and maybe there's nothing there that contradicts it, but you just don't have a good feeling about it, like, talk to a pastor. That's why we have pastors. That's why we have elders. Talk to a trusted friend. Talk to a mentor that knows you and loves you and knows this book, and seek counsel together. Every single verb in this portion of Scripture is a second person plural, just meaning it's us, it's we, it's something that we do together. So we seek godly counsel as we try to discern God's will for our lives together. And last thing that we do is that we ask God for wisdom. You see, so often we think, God told this person to tell me this. Well, the same God who told that person to tell you this can tell you that as well. And so James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, but let him ask in faith, And so you do. You pray, God, would you show me your will for my life? I know this person says I should do this, but God, what do you say? And you prayerfully seek the Lord for wisdom, and he promises he will give it to you. This is not something that at the end of the day you won't know what to do. I believe that God will lead you in that direction. So we do those three things. We know and study God's word. We seek godly counsel. We ask God for wisdom. God has done this in my own life. I've seen it done in the countless lives of people within our church. And I believe that this is how we set up those guardrails where we're not cynical, but we're not gullible either. But we test every single prophecy. Friends, as I wrap all of this up, I'm going to leave you with one final reminder. And that's this: God calls us to have listening ears and discerning hearts. God calls us to have listening ears, to fight the urge to be cynical and believe that he can speak to us through other people. But God also wants us to have discerning hearts that are willing and able to prayerfully determine what God would have us to receive. Guys, that is my prayer for our church. That we would be open to the Spirit of God, whether through preaching, whether through personal conversation, whatever that may be, that we would be open and ready to hear God's voice. God speaks to us in many different ways, I said before, through his word, through prayer, through his own prompting, but he also uses people. And let's be open and willing to kind of to turn that valve on and allow the Spirit's work in our lives and within our church in that way. But I want to address one more thing before I close. Friends, there are probably some of you here today who feel that God has been calling you. Whether it's something in your life that brought you to church today. Maybe your life is falling apart. Maybe God is trying to get your attention this morning. Maybe you came with a friend or a family member this morning who asked you to come here. And I believe that God can be working in that person to bring you to this moment. And in this moment, I want you to hear these words. These words of Jesus that come, that are for you in this moment. See, the Bible says that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That there's none righteous, no, not one. That none of us in our own strength can get to the Lord on our own. We can't make it to heaven on our own. All of us have disobeyed God, have rejected God as our King, and have lived a life in rebellion to the holy and righteous design that God has for us. The Bible simply says we are all sinners. That separates, that we have a separated relationship with God because of our sin, because of our rebellion. But God didn't leave us in our sin. See, it was God's plan all along to send someone so that you could have a restored relationship with God. And 2,000 years ago, God sent his son Jesus, who lived on this earth, who's a real person, who lived righteously as our example, who never sinned, but even though he never sinned, he went to a cross in our place for our sin to pay the penalty that you and I deserve to pay so that we could have a restored relationship with God, that we could have our sins forgiven, and that we can have a home in heaven for all of eternity. And Jesus calls to all of us. In the book of Matthew, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And friend, if you're here this morning, and you've never made that decision to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that is God's voice and God's message for you today. John 3:16, verse that you may even know. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That is God's message for everyone who ever lived until he comes back. That God loved you enough that he sent his son Jesus to die in your place. And not so that you have to do all these rules or all these good things to earn your way to heaven, but whoever just simply believes and places their trust in the finished work of Jesus, he promises that you will have everlasting life, that your sins will be forgiven, that you are one of God's children, and that you can live the rest of your life with him. So if that's you today, if that's something you've never done with your life, this is God's message for you. And we'd love to help you make that next step. Whether it's something you mark on the Connect card and drop it off in the gray baskets, we would love to be able to just walk you through what it looks like, what it means to be a child of God, to know that you have a relationship with Jesus. Whether it's coming up and talking to me or one of the other pastors after the service, we would love to have that conversation with you. Or maybe if someone invited you today, have that conversation with them. They would love to have that conversation with you as well. And so, friends, we're just praying that if you hear God's voice calling you today, that you would not be hardened to it, but that you would be sensitive to it and say yes to what God wants in your life. So let me just pray. I'm going to invite the prayer team and the praise team forward as we just finish up our time here today. We're going to sing one more song. So why don't we just stand and let me pray over you one more time, and then we'll close up in worship. Father God, thank you so much for this text today. Lord, the text that you meant for us to have. And God, I pray, Lord, that your spirit would just do a work in the hearts of our people, including my heart as well, that we would take, Lord, what you would have for us to take from this, Father. That we would be open and ready and eager to hear your voice. But that we would also be wise and have discernment, God, in the voices that we say yes to and the voices that we receive as yours. God, I know this is messy for many people, Lord, and there is an element of trust. But God, we pray, Lord, that this is your design. And I pray, Lord, that we would trust in that design, Lord. That we would be listening to your voice, God, and we would be sensitive to your call. And that your spirit would do a work within our midst, Father. We love you, Lord. We pray, God, that you would just continue to work, continue to move. When we ask all these things in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Grace Bible Church. For more information about our church and our ministries, you can visit gracebiblepa.com.